Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
This episode is good. It's really good. I mean, maybe even great.
Is it as good as gold?
Even better.
Wait a minute. What's better than gold?
Polyvinyl chloride. This episode is as good as polyvinyl chloride. Yesterday, Dan Gursky here, sitting right here.
Yeah, he was.
He still was. He still
we
is.
We haven't changed seats or anything.
Yeah. He turned us on to some music that he picked up at the Americana Fest in Nashville recently. Mm-hmm. Five artists, and we're going to continue that today. Five more artists he wants everyone to hear. Right, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, I could have swapped out 10 other artists for the 10 that we're doing, but that's why it's so great.
Yeah.
And before I had heard, before we went, I think maybe I recognized, I knew Jay Jackson. Some of these I actually did want to hear. So I heard Jay Jackson and Lori McKenna, but Molly Tuttle, no. Dead Horses, no. Aaron Lee Tazjan, like I said yesterday.
That's cool.
I knew of him, but I couldn't figure out, and I still don't know what to think of him.
Yeah, today, he's hard to pin down.
Today's artists, actually won. I'm going to say I'd heard of one of them before.
Okay.
Before we went.
So the interesting thing is a couple of these we heard, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. Like, I had never heard of this person, but it's like, you know, when you hear something for the first time, it's like this revelation.
Totally.
Like, she needs more of an audience, or he needs more people to listen.
Was there anybody that you guys missed that you really had wished you'd seen just because of, like, you were talking about the venues and the way it was set up?
Well, right. Some of it was sort of conflicting schedules. Yeah. And the other issue was really there was only two. I was talking about that was a conference that was tied to this. So if you had a conference badge, you could bump the wristband holders. Like there was a couple ones that were more popular that made you RSVP in advance.
Oh, okay.
And so a couple of them I went in there and it's like, sorry, you're too late. So the two that I would have wanted to see were Josh Ritter and Andrew Bird.
Oh, Andrew Bird. Okay. Yeah.
You know, because Andrew Bird, like the Whistler, remember
totally.
The whistling episode?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was fine. I mean, I didn't miss them. And then other ones probably were too full to see. But other than that, like I said, if we showed up early, our strategy turned out to be pretty good.
Worked pretty well.
There'd be one or two people that we wanted to see. And if you went at the beginning, you know, like the headliner would 700 people would have scheduled them. The first person, maybe 50 people would have scheduled them.
Right.
So you knew at the beginning there weren't going to be that many people, and then it would start filling in later. It was sort of fascinating.
That's kind
of
cool.
The ebb and the flow of the people. Or somebody would play in the middle, and then they would all disappear because they just came to see that one person.
Right.
But for me, it's like, I'll listen to anybody.
Yeah.
Because you know,
if they're
in this festival, the clue, I mean, I don't know how they decide who gets in, then they're definitely worth
checking out.
Listening to.
That's a good strategy.
I'd say.
Yeah.
So this is great. Discovering all kinds of music you hadn't
fantastic.
Heard before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So I'm not listening to anything else ever again. Sorry. This is it.
Got your list.
Yep.
All right. This show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
With us is
Dan Gursky.
And we're at Dan's house all week talking about Americana music.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it exactly? And we probably won't answer
by the end
that
of the
question
week, we
definitively.
Still won't know.
Right. But you're going to hear some good music.
But
in
what
the
you will know is what kind of Americana music I like by the end of the week. That may not have anything to do with what you guys like or what it really is. But, you know, I think we're getting a sense of it's a certain genre for sure. I mean, the stuff that I like, I think there's some similarities. But we had some variety yesterday and today as well.
I think it appeals also to people who really like to listen to music, don't just want to have music on.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm hmm. I think so,
I
too.
Agree.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot,
something immersive about it, I think, right?
Yeah. It's definitely more of a active than passive experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think between the playing, the words, the singing, I mean, it's a whole thing that really sort of rewards the active listening.
Mm-hmm. All right. So yesterday you had five artists you really liked. Today we're going to continue that with five more. And who is up first on the list?
So we're going to start with Sarah Shook. Now, I don't know if you remember the Dead Horses. We had the lead singer who grew up in a fundamentalist household.
Right.
Interestingly enough, same thing with Sarah Shook.
Hmm.
She grew up partly in New York, but more in North Carolina. She's sort of known as a North Carolina artist.
Okay.
And she grew up in this strict fundamentalist household where apparently only classical and worship music were allowed. But somehow she managed to teach herself piano and guitar, probably by playing those genres. But the great thing is her first band was called Sarah Shook and the Devil. So I can only imagine what her parents thought of that.
Right.
And now she's a bisexual. She's an atheist. She's an LGBT activist. She's liberal. And so she has definitely struck out on her own. But she's, I'm going to say she's another young one. She's probably early 30s. She has this great sort of husky voice. And literally, she never smiled the entire time she played. Mm. She's very serious. But so she has a 2018 album called Years, uh-huh. I think, and the song is called Good as Gold. I'm afraid.
That's great.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Phil Ingrassia's Song of the Year.
It was.
I remember
was it?
Now. Yeah, okay. He chose that for Song of the Year in 2018. Okay. I believe that was his
favorite.
Yeah,
that's right. That's when the album came out.
Yep.
And now I'm remembering this song too. The line, when the wrong song comes on at the right time, is like one of the best lines you can ever have. Fantastic stuff.
Yep. So it is funny how you can sort of reject your upbringing and end up doing something totally different. Maybe her parents are fine with it, but you kind of got to wonder.
Especially in the field of country music where that's such an important thing.
Right. Well, I'll suggest to anyone who has access to Spotify, if you go to Sarah Shook and the Disarmers page, the very first song you see will show you, the title of this song will show you, you know, how far she's maybe moved away from her upbringing.
I can't say it on the air if I'm not mistaken. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, did she play with a full rock band and sort of, was she one of the louder, sort of more rockier acts of the week?
Remember I mentioned the Jeremy Ivey heatstroke Margot Price thing? Yeah. She played at that outdoor venue. Oh. So everybody was a little bit subdued because of that.
But I got it.
Yeah, she was rocking it out for sure. And none of them dressed appropriately for the occasion. It's like, it's 100 degrees and I'm still going to wear my camouflage pants.
That's right.
And too many clothes.
Leather
and
vest.
Jeans. You can't just go up there in shorts and a t-shirt.
No way.
It just doesn't work. And so you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
So that was cool. All right. So shall we move on?
Sure.
The next one is definitely one of these ones who I had no idea of, and when from the first song we heard, it's like, oh man, this woman is something else.
All right.
So her name's Tammy Nielsen.
Okay.
She's Canadian. So she came on and she played a song called Big Boss Mama, and it was perfect. She's a big woman with a big voice, and she was dancing around the stage like crazy and just super funny. She said that, like, you know, she has a big bouffant. She says she looks like a drag queen. And she said, you know, I have so much hair that all my backup singers can fit in my hair here. So she's Canadian, but she married a New Zealander. So she lives in New Zealand now, which is probably not the best for her Americana career. But who knows?
Yep.
And the other funny thing was her brother plays guitar, and he could be Billy Bob Thornton's twin brother.
Oh, really?
So they make quite a pair.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyway, so she's got an album from 2018 called Sassafras, and she has a couple of new songs that just came out in the last couple of weeks that are good too, but this is called Diamond Ring.
Hit the button, elevator going up, a black leather shoe jams the door before it shuts, big teeth talking all the way to my floor, I score my number, I push past him out the door, don't need the pain. We'll be right back. choir at the church, singing hymn 23. Sweet salvation from the pain you left me. Pinstripe suit, I still sit in your chair. I say it's taking even though you ain't there. Don't need the pain that loving brings. Don't want no other man's diamond ring.
Don't want no other man's diamond ring.
If there's a table for one.
I don't know what to say about that exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I think, as we were talking about on Monday, the fact that all these different strains come together, this is just one other part of that. To me, it's like that sort of, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Maggie Rose and her kind of Memphis soul strains that she's folding into sort of roots in country music. And I can, this, I don't know, you know, looking at her website and kind of some of the images and the images Dan was projecting, give you maybe a little bit of that, I don't know, I want to say like a little bit of that B-movie, you know, yeah, like kind of sure. 60s and 70s, and 50s
dresses,
stuff.
She dresses to play it up also, yeah. You know.
But you've got that voice, though, that's very smoky and sensuous. And
it sounds like it has echoes of sort of lounge music, a little bit, right?
That's it. That's heavy.
And I will say that she's one of the people that to try to figure out what to play, it's hard to capture because as a performer, she's just super entertaining and charismatic.
Right.
So it's one of those. And by the way, Maggie Rose was in Nashville also.
Oh, she was cool.
Did not get to see her. Yeah. So.
But you raise another interesting point here, too. There is also a soul component to Americana.
I think so.
Sometimes as well, right? Because again, it's sort of, if you look at roots music as being not just, you know, Appalachian music, right? But also the Delta root, you know, roots music and all of that influence as well.
That's right. And, you know, Maggie was talking about this in our interview, and we talked about it a little bit afterwards too, is Memphis is, you know, pretty close geographically to Kentucky and Appalachian, a lot of those places, yet that connection for years has been so far apart that it almost seemed like another world. Memphis was much more connected to New Orleans and everything sort of on the other side of the Mississippi, but it's starting to, you know, enfold each other, I think, a little more than it does, and some of that traces back to Dusty Springfield and, you know, all kinds of things that people are discovering, so...
Oh, totally.
I really like that. That was really cool. That's another one I just added.
I don't know if it says where she's from, but I want to say she's another Midwesterner, maybe Wisconsin, Minnesota kind of thing.
No,
and also, I will say, I should consider Canadians not to be Americans because we are going to have some non-Americans, but I sort of lump her in with the Americans inappropriately.
Right.
And then I said she's Canadian, but anyway, she's I forget where in Canada. So,
real quick thing on the Memphis versus Nashville aspect of it. You know, this festival was in Nashville, but there is an Americana like TV streaming TV station.
Oh.
I don't know how you describe it these days. It's a streaming thing, right?
Yeah, so you can get that Roku.
You can get the app on your Roku and you can watch it there, but also on your computers, whatever. And it's called Diddy TV.
Oh, okay.
And it's all Americana music.
Really?
Kind of like an MTV for Americana music. Really cool. They have videos and they have live performances and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow.
But it's based in Memphis.
Oh, is it really?
You know?
Oh, that's interesting.
And so, you know, whoever founded this thing or whatever kind of felt like Memphis is sort of the center of this kind of music. And you do hear more of that, the kind of soul side of Americana mixed in there as well, along with a lot of the other you know, sort of more country artists that we've been talking about too.
Yeah, really for sure.
Well, and for anyone who's interested in this, you can also get on the Americana Association email list. Once a week, they tell you new releases. They'll tell you who appeared on late night TV, sort of news items, stuff about the charts. So it's pretty cool, especially the new releases. And if you follow them on Instagram on Friday, they'll feature 10, 12, however many news.
That's the kind of information I need in a weekly newsletter.
And I think certainly if you think of like the history of Muscle Shoals, you know, a lot of the influence on modern Americana music, right?
Which is where Maggie recorded her most recent album. So it makes sense.
And that's Alabama, but it's really close to Memphis, right? You know, so there's a whole interesting sort of geographical dynamic that happens in that part of the country.
Totally.
So we should move back up to New England and Boston now, just to confuse things. So the next one is Mark Arely, who has definitely a connection with Laurie McKenna. He played with her when we saw at the church performance. It was actually an entire evening of New Englanders. There was a woman called Caitlin Canty from Vermont who was really great. And then actually Gretchen Peters, I guess, would be the one who's not. She's a Nashville fixture. She's lived there for 30 some years. But he also plays with Josh Ritter. So he's an interesting guy. He has a master's in biology. Clearly a smart guy. I hear bits of Graham Parker, John Hyatt kind of stuff with him. But apparently he's been doing a show at a club in Cambridge for 13 years doing only covers, and he sold it out for 13 years in
really?
A row. So he has a 2018 album called Mixtape, I believe is the title, and it's all covers. Huh. It's got some really great stuff, but I figured we should play one of his originals. So his new single is called Her Turn Now, and he's definitely more on the pop genre and a really fine guitar player. I think he backs up a lot of people as well.
The days are cold, the nights are long, the bed's still here, but her pillow's gone, and all her friends were my friends too. I lost them the day she moved. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. And it makes me wonder why I stick around. It's her town now.
Cool.
A little poppier.
I hear
I
some
love that.
Yeah, I hear some like reminds me kind of like Pete Yorn.
Yeah, a little bit.
Remember him?
I do. Josh Rouse comes to mind a little there bit as go. Well. Yep. Yeah.
Never heard of. Heard of Pete Yorn? Don't know Josh.
Really
Rouse.
Like that, Dan. And what a great idea that is for a song. The theme of that song is so cool, man. Yep. It's her town.
But
why am
he
I
covers.
Sticking around?
So on the covers, he covers "Deep Red Bells" mm-hmm. by Nico.
Yeah,
and he does. There's a Richard Thompson song. I can't remember what.
Yeah, and he does something else on this record, man. I just added it to my Spotify playlist, but I just noticed it now, and I may have to be careful on track 5, Jim, because he covers Against All Odds.
Dude, oh, yeah,
look
yeah.
Look at me now.
It's so weird.
He better be pretty good if he's going to go for that.
And he still plays. I looked it up. He still does play once every month or two at this club in Cambridge.
Does he really? Nice.
And I'm sure it's a hot ticket.
So. Well, I'll be going to the bathroom during that song. So. But good for him. I really like that. That was cool. And I love the cover of this mixtape too, the way he's kind of taking a play on the little Maxell logo and put his name there. It's really clever. But similar to, I love this. I think everybody should put out an album called Mixtape that has covers on it. I think it's fantastic. Jesse Dayton did the same thing. I think everyone should do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, some of the other people that I want to feature later did the same thing.
Very cool.
All right. So number 5 for today is...
You skipped Carl Anderson.
Oh, Carl Anderson. I'm sorry. How could I skip Carl? Yeah, Carl's a sad man.
He's so sad.
So Carl Anderson is our next person. He was at the 5 spot again. He's one that we had never heard of. He was at the 5 spot before we were waiting to see something else. No idea who he was. And it was cute. It was very small. So his girlfriend was at the next table. He was so nervous.
Really?
She was like talking him down. It's going to be fine. It's, you know, you're going to be great. And then when he got on stage, I think it was a result of the nervousness. He was so awkward. He was saying just like goofy things. And we were just like, just play already, you know, it's going to be fine. And so when he relaxed and started playing, he was great. So the sad thing is he moved to Nashville 5 years ago, got divorced. So his stuff is all sad, super sad songs about his experience of moving to Nashville. So he's one of the people that I saw him later. He was just sitting on the ground at this outdoor thing where we saw Sarah Shook. He was just sitting there texting. So I just went over and sat with him for a minute.
Oh, nice.
He was so appreciative.
Was he really?
And he was the one that was telling me about the Nashville scene. And he's like, you know, once I moved here and I proved that I could play, they gave me a chance. And now he's like friends with everybody.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's become not a big success, but his life is better. He's got a new girlfriend. He's making music and he's settled into Nashville comfortably. So anyway, his album is called You Can Call Me Carl.
Nice.
And he's kind of obscene too. I mean, I think he kind of compensated for not being confident by using a lot of obscenity on
that's
stage
one way
too,
to get around it.
Yeah, one approach. But anyway, this is a perfect song called She Took Everything. This is sort of sums up his life in Nashville, I think.
talk to you straight, tell you how I'm feeling. Brother, I can't get her off my mind. I've tried and I've tried, and the fight of my life down here, the light doesn't shine. Water's rising around me, I'm just out of reach of her hand. She took everything. Don't you understand? All of my friends just say the same thing. Time's gonna heal my pain. I'll tell you right now, as I last lay me down.
Wow, that was melancholy, man. That really was.
Yeah, it's a killer.
Yeah,
it's a good. It's mm-hmm. a good album. It's a. I think it's six or eight pieces on there, and I just remembered a lot of that harmonica reminded me a lot of harmonica players yeah. during the week too.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Interesting.
Not a French horn in sight, but a lot of harmonicas. Although, let me digress. Brandi Carlile, when we saw her this summer, had a French horn
Did
player.
Did she really?
Yeah.
She had a guy that's who, kind of interesting.
She had a guy who played keyboards and French horn, so wow. it was a little bit cheating, but I thought that was pretty
that
great.
That counts.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
How about whistling?
A lot of whistling, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I really wish I'd seen Carl or Andrew Bird, because that man, he can whistle.
It's
he's
unreal.
Like a virtuoso.
It really is amazing how that guy can whistle.
So anyway, so Carl was another. He's not super popular, but he's got some talent for
yeah,
sure.
He's
a young guy. Who knows what'll happen to him? Hopefully, he'll get a little bit happier.
That was almost Leonard Cohen like to me. That it was yeah. so you know like wallowing in that sentiment. I thought it was really interesting, yeah. but the way the piano and kind of moved very
Wasn't
slowly.
Wasn't there a line
and,
about reaching out the hand when you're about
like
to
that.
Drown
yeah,
or something
exactly.
like that?
That kind of reminded me of that, which is you know it. Just to evoke Leonard Cohen is definitely saying something. So.
Right. So the guy just needs to play. I mean,
yeah.
don't be goofy. Just get up on
just
stage.
Just get up there
and play.
Wallow in it. Yeah.
Got the talent.
Dark suit. And
yep. Yep.
All right. So what are we going to do for the play out here?
All right. So we're going to finish up with Don Landis.
Okay.
There were some Louisville references throughout the mm-hmm. show so far. So she's from Louisville,
Sweet.
Although now based in Brooklyn.
Okay.
She reminds me of Lori McKenna. Somewhat who we talked about yesterday, but she's a little bluesier, a little harder edged.
Okay.
Definitely a mom. In fact, if you'll indulge me, maybe we can play one song and then maybe we can play out. She made a very cool kids album.
Oh, okay.
This
oh,
year.
Okay.
That is like the coolest kids song
All
ever.
Right. Cool.
So what I want to play first is she has a 2018 album called Meet Me at the River, and it's called Traveling. And I think a lot of these songs seem to be about, one of them is called Southern Girl. They seem to be about moving to New York as a person from Kentucky seems to be a bit of a theme on this album.
Interesting.
Okay.
So then we can come back and talk about the kids
sure.
album for a second and play out with that. How about?
Cool.
That sounds good. All right. This is Travel.
When I left New York this morning, I didn't really have a plan. Right on the radio, no real place to go.
Cool.
It was lovely. I liked that a lot. Yeah. It had a nice old-timey kind of a feel to
yeah.
it with the steel guitar and everything. It was very cool.
You were probably remembering your road trip.
Yeah.
Also, as she was singing.
Exactly, yeah, as I'm rolling through eastern Kentucky. Now, was she somebody you guys planned to see, Dan, or did you kind of come across
her? I had heard of her, and okay. She just happened to be, she wasn't one that we specifically went to see, but it was one of those, oh, there's two or three people playing that I like, and she's one of them.
Right.
And she definitely was a good one to see.
Okay.
All right, very cool. And another Louisvillian, so yes. That's nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we have on tap for tomorrow?
Okay, so tomorrow I think we're going to talk about non-Americans playing Americana music, okay. Which I find kind of fascinating. And so you might have heard of a couple of these people. These were getting maybe a little more popular. At least they're on the bigger letters on the back of my shirt. So maybe that okay. Means they're better known, right?
All right, good. We'll do that tomorrow. All right.
Sounds great.
Okay.
So anyway, so we're going to play out with, after you do the niceties, I'm Your Mama. But I interrupted your business at hand. See, when Patrick and I do a show, we don't even say what the show is or how to do anything. It's exactly. Like, oh, maybe we should say what the name of the podcast is.
Some Numbers, 1984. Right. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you can find us, though, by typing in Suburbs Pod. If you type in Suburbs Pod into the Google machine or whatever you use for your search engine, that'll pretty much point you where you need to go, and you can
that's
find
right.
us on the socials.
So
and
do
all that.
That.
Yeah, for sure. But now, on the front of our website, we don't have a song that you can't say on our podcast, but unlike somebody we talked about.
Hey, by the way, maybe if we drink another beer... The DC Brow one has kind of a boombox.
Oh,
I liked the can. We were talking about how the can can influence your purchasing decisions.
Yes.
So maybe we'll get a picture of the can with the boombox on there too.
I'm ready to support you in that mission.
Next tomorrow, we'll crack one of those.
All right.
All right. Sounds good. All right. If anybody wants to talk about any of these artists, most of them are sort of new to us today, so
it's great. I was just tallying up. I've already put 5 new things on my Spotify list to listen to.
I feel like I've earned my pay for the week already.
I hope everybody's doing that as we are.
I was doing the same thing. Follow. Yeah.
Add new album.
Yep. But new to us, but maybe some of the listeners have seen these people or are familiar with their work, so let us know.
I have no idea. That's the thing. We met some super nerdy Americana people down there. I mean, both the artists and then like one guy that knew every stringed instrument. Like there was people playing instruments that I didn't even know what it was. And he'd say, well, that's a this and this. You can tell by the number of strings and the resonator and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But people that have been coming for years, I think a lot of the same artists come back every year also. So, definitely... some known followers for sure of a lot of these people.
We're gonna have to send Dan down with a microphone and a recorder next time.
Oh, absolutely.
Go next year for sure.
I just learned of something called the banjolele. I was not familiar with that, but it's literally what you think it is. It's a very small banjo. You play it like sort of like a ukulele, but it's a banjo.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet there was one there.
Probably.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all versions of pedal lap steel things as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing what you can do with 4, 6, 12 strings, whatever.
Well, that's definitely an instrument that was kind of sort of invented by somebody tinkering in their basement, like the pedal steel. So you can definitely make some variations off that bad boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
All right. So let us know what you think. You can email rock@suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. You can call. I'm the only one who knows the number. It's a well-guarded, set of digits that I hold. And I don't share it with Patrick, but I'll share it with you all. It's 612-440-1984. He knows that part. All right. All right. So the children's EP was called My Tiny Twilight, came out this year by Dawn Landis. And the song, again, is?
I'm Your Mama.
All right. So if you have little ones around, you can gather them around the...
Little Americana, budding Americana fans.
The speaker right now. And enjoy that, right?
Yep.
Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Dan Gersky.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Baby, I'm your mama. You're my sparrow. I'm your tree. Hey, little songbird, singing oh so sweet. You are my sugar. Come on, give me a treat. You're my baby, I'm your mama. You're my honey, I'm your bee. You're my baby, I'm your mama. You're my sparrow, I'm your tree. If you be my songbird, I will be your tree. You are the message, I'm the melody. You're my
baby, I'm your mama, you're my honey, I'm your beat. You're my baby, I'm your mama, you're my sparrow, I'm your tree. Songbird, songbird, I love to hear you sing. You are my wind now, baby, I'm your wing. You're my baby, I'm your mama, you're my honey, I'm your beat. You're my baby, I'm your mama, you're my sparrow, I'm your tree. You're my baby, I'm your mama, you're my honey, I'm your beat. You're my baby, I'm your mama, you're my honey bee.
And he's only like 112 pounds, and he's 108 of that is whistling. It's incredible. That guy's so good. Yeah.